Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Four panels, eight laces, baby. It's all about that pigskin at 4 o'clock right here on Clint Sterner and the Show, baby. Show. We got some breaking news, man.
Yeah, we do.
The SEC. We're in SEC country now that A&M's up the street. We're in SEC country.
A lot of people loving from LSU.
A lot of LSU fans. Man. Nice little chunk of Arkansas fans. They're obviously the old faithfuls because lately it's not been easy to be an Arkansas fan. But the SEC. The SEC has decided to adopt a 10-game in-conference only schedule this fall. If you look at this, what typically happens in the SEC, there's seven teams on each side, east and west. You got 14 total teams. You play the other six teams in your division. You play one other constant from the other side of the conference, and you play one other rotating opponent from the other side of the conference. So if you're in the west, you play all six west teams. You play one East team every year, and then you have one spot on your schedule that's a rotating East team every year. Well, it looks like COVID-19 2020 for the SEC is going to be 10 conference games. They have pushed the start date back to September the 26th. Mm. The SEC title game will be December the 19th. And for – this means more – really good football. I think one of the big hot button points around college football over the years is Alabama specifically playing, an FBS, FCS opponent, paying them, $2 million to do so, to come in there and just get skull drugged from the jump. Yeah. I mean, some will argue, hell, I'll argue that it's dangerous. I'll argue that it shouldn't happen, right? But so that's out of the way. That's not happening. And instead, you're going to get Bama, Florida, and Bama, Vanderbilt. Now, this is not for certain. This is just speculation that the way that they'll add two games will be by the next two rotational opponents from the other side of the conference. So Bama will get Florida, Vanderbilt. Auburn will get South Carolina, Missouri. Arkansas will get Georgia, Arkansas. You already got Alabama. You already got LSU. You already got Auburn. And now you're going to throw Georgia in the mix.
Real good chance to really see what you're made of.
Step on my throat when I'm down right there. Arkansas gets Georgia, SC, South Carolina, that is. LSU gets Kentucky, Tennessee. Mississippi State gets Vanderbilt, Georgia. Ole Miss gets Tennessee and Kentucky. Texas A&M, where my Aggies at? Missouri and Florida.
Yeah.
Missouri and Florida. That's speculation. That's not for sure. That's just if you apply the next two rotational opponents in the future for each one of those organizations, that's who it could be. The Pac-12 is all conference, all in-conference games. The Big Ten is all in-conference games. The ACC's adding Notre Dame, and they're playing
one
non-conference game
that has to be played at the ACC stadium.
Right.
And, of course, dragging last the weakest and the worst leadership, Bob Boolsby, of the Power Five
Big 12.
Leagues is the Big 12.
What are they going to do?
they're going to do what everyone else is doing.
I mean, they don't have enough teams, do they? They have enough teams to play 10 games?
No, they got 10 teams.
So they play. They don't have enough. They're going to play somebody twice.
They'll probably play nine and add. I saw Kansas try to add some other team to their schedule. Oh, so they'll play, was it eight and eight? Maybe they'll add two. There's 10 teams, so they'll play nine.
Play nine, you got to add one.
Yeah, to get them to 10 games. But the thing is, the things we're missing, though, when's the last time Florida and Florida State hadn't played in the season? Georgia Tech.
Yeah, the ACC-SEC matchups are huge.
South Carolina-Clemson.
I mean, think about the LSU-Texas matchup. That was
LSU-Texas was supposed to match up. Tennessee and Oklahoma were supposed to match
Alabama. Who was Alabama?
Alabama was supposed to play USC.
Yeah.
To open up the season. And the matchup, everyone's dying that they're going to miss Kentucky-Louisville. So, I mean, you know, you just
banged on the SEC. My boy Mark Stoops, don't do that, man. When it's all said and done, look here, when it's all said and done within COVID-19, 2020 college football, they're all going to end up playing predominantly in conference schedules. And the SEC is going to win again, my man.
Clint, Louisiana Monroe, they lose two games to Arkansas and Georgia that they was going to get paid to get their asses kicked. That's huge for them.
Did you see where it was that same article? It said that those two games, the money that those two Power Fives were going to give them was 20% of their revenue. The money that they received from those bigger schools was 20% of their total revenue.
$3.2 million.
That's crazy. Guaranteed. Check this out. Here's another one about this college football.
Holy nuts.
In 2017, SEC teams as a whole, across the board, they paid out more than $45 million in buying games from lesser opponents.
Good Lord.
$45 million. And the question is contractually, now, how does the SEC get out of those? How does the SEC cancel those games and get out of paying? That's going to be an absolute mess.
White 80.
Can we talk a little NFL quarterback?
We can do whatever the hell you want.
Can we talk a little NFL quarterback?
Clint Sterner's football.
That's right. How did you feel about – we talked a little bit about DeAndre Hopkins earlier being number 8 on the top 100 list. How do you feel about Watson being number 20?
Listen, I understand it. I don't – like, they're multiple. Drew Brees and Tom Brady, who were in front of him, I don't believe – deserved to be in front of him. He was the 7th quarterback on the list. So those two, but I have a problem with it. I don't have a huge problem with it, but he's got to pick it up. Chief. It up, and I think he's going to be in the top 10 next year.
I love it because it was a major upgrade. I think he was in the 50s last year.
Yeah.
So it was a big-time upgrade for Deshaun Watson, landing at number 20 in the NFL top 100. But when I look at this list, show again, I wanted to talk about Deshaun, but I can't help but look. Bobby Wagner. I love Bobby Wagner. Great linebacker.
He's big time.
He ain't more important than Deshaun Watson.
Well, it's not more important, though. I think they go best player, I guess. Like the best.
He's not a better player than Deshaun Watson. I don't care how you couch it.
I don't think he is.
Either. I mean, I just don't. There's just no way to couch that one. Nonetheless, he's number 20. He's steadily climbing the charts. Along the same lines.
You think he should have been ahead of Brady from last year?
Man, that's a tough one for me. Brady and Brees in these conversations.
So you're giving the all time, like they're on your Mount Rushmore, so it's tough for you.
If Brady would have had his usual company in New England last year and won 12 and lost in the first round, I would buy into the decline aspect of a conversation that always surrounds Brady this time of year. But it's criminal, man. It is criminal what Belichick did to him last year in terms of not giving him weapons. That was bad business, man. It wasn't quite as Rodgers' issue wasn't quite as bad as Brady's, but it was bad. I can't believe what they did to Tom Brady. So I take that into consideration. I don't know, man. That's a debate that's going to take a little more time. I will say this, along those same lines, how about your boy Pat Mahomes? Talked yesterday, buying the Royals. They're all out there talking about 5 or 7 Super Bowls. Pat Mahomes, he retweeted the list. Little taking notes emojis above it. He wasn't real happy with the fact that he was number 4. Lamar was 1. Russ was 2. Aaron Donald was 3. Pat Mahomes was number 4 on that list.
This one ain't as bad. I'm not as upset about Mahomes. I'm talking about his reaction to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
This is something that Tom Brady and Michael Jordan, they would absolutely use this for the rest of the year.
Motivation.
To motivate the hell out of them.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you put that spin on it. Now that's, we got to worry about Pat being motivated. I need him to be unmotivated and unfocused as much as possible.
He said Lamar's never beat me.
Yeah, here's the crazy one. Here's where this thing goes a little bit south. We talked about Lamar Jackson not being the face of the league, and not, you know, there's some things we highlighted, the jumping over the jet ski in shallow water and the different things that Lamar did a while back. This is Lamar Jackson talking about Antonio Brown, who's still under investigation, still hadn't been wrapped up. This is Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens quarterback, talking about adding Antonio Brown to the Ravens roster.
Around us, he was a great guy. You know, you don't really see anything going on at all. You know, he cool down to earth guy, you know, and he's passionate about the sport of football. Like, when he was working, you can tell, like, this man is, he gonna go, like, 24/7. And after the workout, he still went and lifted. Like, he already, prior to the workout, he lifted. We go out there and go to throwing routes. After that, them guys went and lifted some more. I'm like, dang, this guy is no quitting with him. So it's like, that's the type of guy we need in our locker room. We want to win. And I can tell in him, he want to win. He want to play ball.
Lamar done lost his mind, Chief.
What he's saying is true. You know Antonio works his ass off. That's the small part.
I'm assuming he's talking about a recent workout. Yeah, and hell, I hope that Antonio Brown is working his ass off right now. I hope he's focused and staying up there and working out a little.
He's focused at that moment, he is.
At that moment. Hell, until he leaves. Yeah. Yeah, until he gets in there and he's not getting enough ball.
And then he turns into AB.
Oh, man. Come on, Lamar. Don't do it, man.
To me, Lamar, do it. I want it to happen. He'll ruin that team, and I've got this bet with Wade Smith.
That's so selfish. You want Lamar.
That's the worst team. That's the worst team for him to go to with that young quarterback. His cousin's the other deep threat in Hollywood Brown. He'll control all of them by the time it's over. His cousin is the deep threat who looks up to him, and then Lamar, he'll control.
That's a circus.
Greg,
I tell you,
Roman
what it
doesn't
is.
Have a chance.
That's HBO Hard Knocks in the making. If they can adjust that schedule, that's it. Hey, the other one, man, real quick, quarterbacks around the league. Arians was on this morning on TV this morning. He said he's not going to ask 21 other guys to learn a new offense. He was asked about Brady and getting him into the system and figuring things out. He said, "Oh, it's on Brady, man. I'm not going to ask 21 other guys to learn a new offense." What do you think about that?
If Tom's fine with that, then that's good. Okay. He better have discussed that with Tom.
I love Bruce. I love the swag. I love the offensive genius. But Bruce, you're gonna do whatever in the hell Brady has to do.
I'm sure somehow their offenses will slide into each other. That Bruce will come in and start doing some of the things that Brady's been comfortable doing.
Look here, bro. Tampa didn't bring Tom Brady in there to fit in.
He already beat Tom once. He told Tom, "We ain't bringing an AB." And maybe this is his.
Yeah, okay. I think Tom probably submitted on that one because he looks around and he's got the best receiving corps in the league. So he probably backed down a little bit on that one. Look here. They didn't bring Tom in there to go, "Hey, we're going to do things the Buccaneer way." No, they brought Tom in there to say, "Hey, teach us how to win games. Teach us how to win games."
Oh God, man, Dusty Baker had him a
Buccaneer
rough
way.
Had him a rough night last night. But there was one particular moment from last night that I think a lot of people are talking about. Was he right or was he wrong? We'll discuss coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Dirty, there is no way to sugarcoat what we saw last night. Dusty Baker was awful. I don't think the season is lost. I don't think he should be fired. I saw many people hitting me up talking about, this is why I want A.J. Hinch back. Hold on, folks. Did you remember A.J. Hinch's last performance? Do you remember Gerrit Cole, who's still, I believe, at Minute Maid in the bullpen waiting? Let's calm down. You're in first place. But last night, he was awful. And particularly, Clint, he was awful in the late innings with the new rules. And I didn't think it should have been that hard. It felt like he should have had a bit of a game plan or something to go along with it. But he was rough last night. And hopefully, what we watched last night, the Astros don't play a lot of extra inning games, because if they do, it seems like Dusty doesn't have a plan.
Well, you hope Dusty just learns from his mistakes, and because clearly there were several of them made last night as it pertains to the new extra inning rule, which is when you get into extra innings.
Yeah, you get into extra innings, the batter who made the last out automatically goes to second base, and you start with a runner on second with no outs. And then they're trying to move the game along faster. And three different occasions in the 10th, 11th, and 12th, he had opportunities where he could have bunt. He could have done something. Bunt, right. Hit and run, something to win the game with runners, and he did nothing.
And I think first and foremost, the big picture, like I don't like getting into personally, just this is me. I'm not like I heard Lock Dog yesterday talking about he felt like he pulled Framber Valdez a little bit early. Okay, that's kind of a, to me, that's one of those feel things that, you got to trust a manager to make. It's those kind of game time decisions. I don't really dig too much into and saying a guy was right or wrong when you pull a pitcher. So it takes a lot for me to go, hey, coach, man, what in the hell is going on? And the biggest concern for me with what went on last night with Dusty is that there was no plan. This is a rule that I don't know exactly when it was inked, when the deal was inked a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe. But I do know that we've been having conversations about extra innings starting with no outs and a runner on second base. And we've had conversations about, do you pinch run? If you do pinch run, what does it mean? Do you bunt? All these different scenarios. And so I just expected Dusty Baker to have a plan in place. I don't need to agree with it. Hell, it doesn't have to work. Just have some kind of plan in place, and we should at least see the players try to execute said plan. And when you're watching last night, it is blatantly obvious that whether it was when they were down one or it was when they were tied two different times, there wasn't a plan in place.
None. And
it was just play ball as usual.
Let's just go, baby.
Let's go. Swing away. Right? Hope you can score from second.
Let me keep writing stuff on my scorecard.
Yeah.
It was awful. Like, Dusty Baker last night had a bad night, particularly when it came to the new rules. And, Clint, that was the thing for me is, like, you got to do something. At some point, you got to force the issue. At some point, you got to say, all right, I got to do something. If we're not hitting the ball well or not swinging the bat well, we got to do something to force the issue. Let me a straight steal. Let me bunt. Let me do a hit and run. Something. And not just sit there and just say, all right, man, somebody going to take care of it. You can even explain away kind of some of the things. The first time in the 10th, Roberto Osuna went in and did his thing and got you out of the inning to where all you needed was a run. Coming up, you had Kyle Tucker at second base with Altuve, Bregman, and Michael Brantley, whichever order, Brantley before Bregman. You had those three up in a row. No outs. All you need is a run. I remember tweeting before that inning, the Astros have to win the game here. They've got to find a way to win the game. And he didn't do anything in that inning. All right, okay, I'll take it. All right, you wanted to try to let your big bat swing away. That's fine.
You got a bunt right there. You got a bunt and move.
Somebody's got to move. The runner's got to move.
But we can't. You can't. Is that not? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's the inning where not only did he not bunt, but that's the one where Altuve's swinging out of his shoes.
He's got to be better than that.
So that right there tells me, right, that there wasn't even a plan to try to hit the ball to the right side of the infield to advance the runner. So no, we ain't going to bunt, which, by the way, Landry Locker told us that on his way out of the – he got really heated on his way out of the studio today. He let us know how good of a bunter Altuve is. Apparently Altuve's a really, really good bunter. A lot of things I don't trust Lock Dog with, but stats and doing the due diligence behind these stories, yeah, he's got it on point, no doubt about it. So Altuve's a great bunter. You don't want to bunt him? Okay, cool. He's a great hitter. Can we at least
look
attempt
like
to execute pushing the ball to the right side of the infield at the very least?
At least you can look advance? Like it.
No, we're swinging out
at
of our
Crawford
shoes.
Boxes. That's what he was. That's what he was doing.
What is the plan, Show?
Chipper Jones on the ESPN broadcast said, well, that certainly didn't look like a swing of somebody who's going to right field to get the runner over, does it? No. Like, I don't get – okay, and that one, I think you got to do something. Like, because a run just wins. All right, you got to do something. Okay, all right, Dusty, I'll take it. Those were your three best batters. I'd have done some – put some kind of action on to get the runner to move from second to third, to move. I'm not going to let him just sit there and not move.
Right.
And we don't score. Then the next time you come up, you're down, you get it tied immediately, you have runners on first and second after Los Correa comes through and ties the game. You have runners on first and second, and you bring up Toro. You, once again, a run wins it, and he's swinging away.
Toro.
Yeah, no movement, no, nothing. You're not bunting, nothing. And, like, I don't get that. That one, well, hold on, man, you got to do something. You can't just sit here and say, I'm going to pinch it, and we ain't going to do nothing, man. We just going to sit here and ride it out. We're going to ride it out with Toro. Like, no. And then the next inning, he had a chance again to win it in the 12th. And this time, he leads off with Kyle Tucker, with a runner on second, with Kyle Tucker there, with Altuve.
Tucker's at the plate.
At the plate. No out, runner on second, tie game, Altuve behind Tucker with Brantley and Bregman. And you don't bunt Kyle Tucker. What are we doing? You got to do something. All three occasions, Dusty, you can't just sit over there with on your hands and just say, I mean, the guys will take care of it. You got to force the issue somewhere.
This is where the slow pace of baseball really is really working against Dusty here, because, you know, you just outlined three straight opportunities in three different innings with a significant amount of time between innings to go, you know what? Next inning, I'm going to do something with that guy on second and no outs. Here's what I got coming up. You can sit over there. Hell, you can you got to stay 6 feet apart, but you can get your damn bench coach. You can get Joe Espada over there with you. And go, hey, man, what do we want to do this next inning? Like something, some kind of strategy involved, and you don't do it. Like that, it's just unacceptable. It's unacceptable when it's Bill O'Brien and it's making a decision before the play clock runs out. It's damn sure unacceptable when it happens three times in one game with all the time in the world to have a coach's meeting and figure it out.
Clint Sterner in the Show right here on Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We're discussing Dusty Baker had an awful night, especially when it comes to the new rules. And it's funny that you brought up Beautiful Bill, who, by the way, is scheduled to be on the air right here on Sports Radio 610 tomorrow morning to speak him along with Jack Easterby. But it's funny you brought up Beautiful Bill O'Brien. Could you, anyone out there, if you're not driving, close your eyes. I want you to listen to Dusty. Could you imagine if Bill O'Brien said something like this?
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
Three times.
When he asked
three
you,
innings. Hey, three chances.
Why didn't you bunt, Dusty?
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
Could you imagine if Bill O'Brien, like you said before the show, I mean, Andy Reid didn't call any timeouts. I didn't call any timeouts. So we just didn't call timeouts.
Andy Reid didn't challenge a play, so I didn't challenge a play. So nobody challenged a play.
Like, come on, man. What was that?
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
Huh? Yeah. Hey. Was he sitting over there saying, hey, Brent, I'm not butting this thing until he does. All right? If the Dodgers bunt, that's when we'll start it. Somebody's got to start this. We ain't bunting first. The hell? Someone just texted in, Clint from the text line, 713-572-4610. This is the guy you wanted. You both said he was the perfect choice. I'm not saying, this is the thing, man. You could be critical of somebody who had a bad night, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love George Springer, and I think he's a great player.
I got a serious question for that guy. Hell. Like, I mean, do you want to turn the radio on, and even in a moment like this, you're stroking Dusty Baker? Like, I like Dusty Baker. I think he's great. We've outlined the reasons why he's great for this team. He blew it last night.
He was awful.
They didn't bunt. Nobody bunted.
Do you want to turn the radio on and just get filled full of smoke? No.
I'm just got to be honest
about
what it was.
Just be honest. I mean, come
Dusty
on, man.
Dusty needed a smoke after that game. After
he may have smoked a couple before.
You might.
Hell, I think he may have smoked a couple before. How do you go into those extra innings with no plan?
Just in
like, forget what happened. Just screw what happened. It doesn't matter. How do you go with no plan?
I think his plan was to just let his hitters hit.
They didn't bunt.
But
didn't
at some
bunt,
point, you know, after the third, after the second, after the second time when they don't come through, you might want to say, all right, guys, I'm going to force the issue this time.
Yeah,
this, I'm
yeah, right. Move. When Tucker's up there and he's 0 for 5 in the leadoff spot, you go. May want to move the runner.
Yeah, let's go, man. Three different times he had a chance to
come
win.
On, man.
With runners on
the hell out of here. Man.
All right. The
Uncle Dusty, boy, you blew it.
Yeah, he blew it last night, man. I still love you.
One of these days, we're going to sit on the porch and drink cold beer. And
yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Man, Dusty, remember
I'll
that
bring
time?
The beer, Dusty.
Remember that time you lost your damn mind against the Dodgers? All right. The Houston Texans are catching big time breaks leading up to the first game of the season against the world champions. We'll discuss the latest break coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the show.
Oh, man, y'all done up and done it.
Oh, no.
No,
boy.
Y'all done up and done it.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, y'all done up and done it. Y'all done up and done it, man.
Y'all
done
come
up
on.
And done it.
My first song
was like 48 bars.
Are you
all right?
Oh, no.
I hope B. Scott is getting this on. I want that right there put on on all of our Sports Radio 610 Instagram, Twitter right now. B. Scott, if you're listening, get this nut over here as he's. He is. Let it go.
Doc. That old chair got some spring in it, baby.
Do it. I bet not do it. No, but
yeah, you take it easy over
there. All right, man. I did it, dude. Yeah.
Hold on, though.
You brought it up, Chief.
He giggles. He giggles so hard, man. No, week one, we know the Texans take on the world champions on the road. But as we continue, since the schedule came out, right, and everything that has happened while I was doing the show in my basement at the time and you was doing the show in your house at the time, when that schedule time and every step up to this point, the Texans, I think, have been helped. They've been helped and been getting advantages every step of the way. Now, it may not mean a damn thing, Clint. They still may get beat in week one in September, but they have been helped every step of the way. Here are the latest. Damian Williams, the running back for the Chiefs, who I think...
LSU kid?
No, where did Damian Williams go? I don't think he went to LSU. Where did he go? I can't remember where he went. Tyler, come on, you got this. But he's one of their big-time, fast player, I think should have been the Super Bowl MVP. He had the touchdown to seal it.
Oklahoma.
Oh, that's right. Mm. Yeah, OU. Had the touchdown to seal it, and it had another touchdown in that game. To me, was the best player in the game, but Mahomes, of course, is going to get it. But he was a big-time part of their offense, their starting running back. They lose their right guard, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. He opts out as well. With Damian,
we just call
Williams.
Him Larry T.
Larry T, baby, LDT. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the Canadian doctor, he opts out. Overall, here lately, like Tyreek Hill seems to be as interested in racing people as he does in focusing on championships. Patrick Mahomes is buying teams, and Chris Jones is saying they're going to win 5, 6, 7.
He's not as crazy as Tyreek Hill calling 7 Super Bowls.
No,
and just bypassing Brady.
Yeah.
He just said 5.
I think Tyreek Hill is as interested in racing.
Marquise Goodwin? Some guy he didn't know?
I think Roby. I think he's as interested in racing Roby as he is playing against him on the field. That's what I think Tyreek Hill's head is.
He wants to prove he's faster than Roby.
I think he's as interested as that. And I think those are big things that are helpful to the Texans with the Chiefs. And another big one that we didn't really get to last week is when there was announced there's going to be no preseason. And now the Chiefs will not understand or get to see Anthony Weaver, how he runs his defense, how he's going to do things, because you would think it's going to be different than what you saw from Rack. But, like, when you think, well, maybe he'll run it like Rack because he was underneath him. But, you know, he also was underneath Rex Ryan. So you really have no idea how he's going to use these players and use his scheme. And the Texans' whole offense is completely different, Clint. And they kind of have an understanding of how he's going to use – how they're going to use these players. So the fact that they don't have any preseason is going to be a huge help to the Texans because the first time they see them will be that game on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think that's a big advantage. The preseason stuff, I mean, obviously losing starters, losing guys that are contributors, specifically a running back in Damian Williams, I mean, that's big on game day. But I think the big part of this is what you said at the end there, Show, is the no preseason game. So you really have the surprise element of what is a Tim Kelly offense with this new receiving core, with a new running back, what is it going to look like? Well, not that you would show a whole hell of a lot in the preseason anyway, but you could at least get a gist of what their core identity is going to be, or at least you would hope so. Defensively, same thing with Anthony Weaver. So the two new coordinators in Houston not showing their hands in the preseason in terms of opening up against Kansas City will definitely be a big-time unknown in that game that would tilt in the Texans' favor. You know, I think the other thing, Show, is leading up to that game is the fact that the Texans just simply will have weeks on tops of weeks to prepare for that game.
Yeah. No, you know, fans either. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, didn't think like that. Arrowhead is not going to be Arrowhead with no fans. It's not going to be Arrowhead with 20% of fans. It's not going to be Arrowhead with 50% of their fans. I don't care what we get to in the NFL in terms of allowing fans in stadiums. Arrowhead not being full is a game changer. It's an absolute game changer. Yeah. And so when you talk about the COVID-19 impact on the NFL, it definitely tilts in the Texans' favor, whether you're talking about star players, you know, opting out or the atmosphere at Arrowhead. But I'm telling you, man, I think the biggest part of this is with or without COVID-19, the Texans opening the year against the Chiefs and having more than enough time to prepare for that offense, and because it's no secret what they do. I mean, they're just really, really good at spreading you out, scheming you up, and running through you. I mean, that's just it's no secret. You've just got to get to know what it is they do better, have more ways to combat what they do, whether that's more pressures to get to Pat Mahomes and confuse him, or it's more eight-man dropping into zone coverages after showing a blitz type of thing to confuse Pat Mahomes and the receivers.
But they got no clue what you're going to do. Like no right clue. Now, they have there is nothing on any kind of tape of Anthony Weaver how he calls defense. There's nothing on any tape of how Tim Kelly calls offense. Yeah. There's nothing. We've never seen Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller and Randall Cobb on the field at the same time with Deshaun Watson. You've never seen any of it.
Right. When the one thing about that, Show, is like you can look at last year and the plan initially out of the gate. If you remember correctly, I believe Pat Mahomes missed Travis Kelce twice early in the game. I believe they were third downs.
Yeah.
And that's precisely what I'm talking about. I mean, that wasn't a deal where they just miscommunicated because they hadn't had enough work, right? That's a deal where Kelce comes off the ball, he reads the coverage, does he turn inside or does he sit down outside, does he keep moving? They're responding to what the defense is doing. And early in that game, the defense made it difficult for Kelce and Pat Mahomes to be on the same page. Obviously, that didn't last long. Because in the second, by halftime, they were up. But the plan initially out of the gate, you saw a little bitty glimpse into what you would like to try to do for a longer period of time versus Pat Mahomes. They had them confused for a couple of drives. They're just masters at getting everything back on track and rocking and rolling. And once you allow the special teams to get them back in the game, it was game over. But that the point is that's where you're at if you're the Texans. On the defensive side of football, you got to try to confuse the hell out of them. On the offensive side of the football, you got to come out and surprise them.
Clint Sterner and the Show here with you on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. And we're discussing here, it appears, now this may not mean anything, the Chiefs may still beat them, but it appears that at least up to this point, since finding out the schedule, it has been at least, I think, at the advantage of the Texans on what things have happened. They've had two starters on offense opt out, their running back Damian Williams and their guard Leonard Duvernay-Tardy. And they've also had no preseason. There's no preseason for them to check them out. There's no fans that are probably going to be in Arrowhead at this point in September. And like, they've just kind of overall had a weird show of focus the Chiefs have here of late. My question to you is, as somebody who's played in the league and played in college at a high level, am I overblowing how much an advantage that is? Like, Andy Reid's going to have wrinkles because Andy Reid's just a great coach. Steve Spagnuolo's probably going to have wrinkles because they're really good coaches. But by and large, you can put on tape and understand, well, this is an Andy Reid offense. We've got this offense of these cast of characters that we've seen how they run offense. Am I overblowing how big of a, I think, an advantage it is that the Texans have tape on both sides of the ball of what they can do, and that the Chiefs literally have the special teams coordinator is new, the coordinator is new, both coordinators are new, and you've never seen it. Am I overblowing that advantage?
No, I think it's a great talking point. I think that's a definite advantage. Now, does that advantage last for one quarter?
Yeah.
Or does it last, you know, does it last the first half? And then you go, okay, can Tim Kelly, Bill O'Brien, and Anthony Weaver, can they go in at halftime and make the adjustments that may or may not be exotic? Yeah, if you have a good first half, you want to come out and do some similar things, but you want to really have in your pocket some adjustments, because good teams, which Kansas City, they're going to make adjustments and they're going to come out and try to light whatever it is you're doing on fire. You better have a counterpunch. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just in those moments, in the element of surprise, can you get a turnover, right? In the element of adjusting at halftime and coming out with that Swiss Army knife in your pocket in terms of being able to do some different things with different players, are you able to get a turnover? Are you able to create a turnover? Are you able to get a three and out, you know, in a critical moment? I mean, those are the things that you hope comes from it. I don't think you're blowing it out of proportion at all. Is it going to win the game?
No.
Hell no.
That's an interesting point you made. How long does it last?
Yeah, that's it.
How long does that last? From the text line here, 281, is Tim Kelly just going to call Bill O'Brien's plays, or is he actually going to get to design his own plays? I get that, and I think that is a very, very fair point. But still, the Chiefs have no idea. The Chiefs don't know. They don't know what they're getting.
Well, I think there's a good chance you'll see some significant changes with Tim Kelly calling the shots. And I don't think that it's as much about literally calling the plays as it is. Last year, there were three voices in Deshaun Watson's ear. You had a quarterback coach. What was my man's name? What we call him, man? My mind just went
Tater.
Blank. Old Tater. Carl Smith.
Yeah, somebody.
It's amazing how Tater just triggered that Carl
Tracy
Smith.
Tracy Smith's daddy.
Tracy's the
special teams coordinator.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. But last year, he was the quarterback coach. Tim Kelly's the OC, and Bill O'Brien's calling play. I mean, that's just too many. So you're gonna see an improvement and see a difference based off of cleaning that process up and Tim Kelly being there. I firmly believe that. I think you'll see some things that Tim Kelly is comfortable in doing that Bill O'Brien just couldn't get out of his old ways. I think you'll see the Texans play with tempo. I think you'll see them play faster. I think that's a no-brainer. I think you ask anybody that covers the Texans that has any kind of football knowledge and understanding of the game and understanding of the Texans, I think they'd tell you that it would be criminal if the Texans didn't play faster next year. Bill O'Brien, I don't know that he's cut from that cloth. He was more of a slow down, take what they give you, slow the game down, keep the game in control, whereas you hope Tim Kelly goes in with big-time tempo and is super aggressive throughout. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about with Tim Kelly, really with the change, not just Tim Kelly, but with the change. And I think the excitement level should be through the roof initially, and if once you see it, you run with it, or – the air comes out of the balloon.
Yeah, as we're sitting here talking about this, we're discussing like the advantages that the Texans has with the Chiefs just not being able to see any tape of what their new play callers are going to be, how they put together offenses and defenses. Is I'm listening to you speak about this, and it's like, even if offensively they run their offense the same way, because of the new parts, is it still so different? Is it still different because if they run the same stuff they did last year, but they're running it with Will Fuller, and Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb, and then those guys in the backfield, Duke and David Johnson, maybe there's a new tight end. Like, with this offensive line, with the new parts, is it still different? Is it still going to be different the way they run it with new personnel in it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest piece is the one you didn't mention, is Deshaun Watson. I mean, I think him getting to the point where he has to distribute the football accordingly. You know, I think that's the biggest approach. And look, I'm honest with you, man. We had the DeAndre Hopkins crutch conversation a while ago. I think that conversation is more heavily tilted towards the offense and the play caller of not being able to take advantage of. It was so Hopkins eccentric that it was. They didn't take advantage of the other side of the field, the other receivers, the weakness in the defense, because they were giving Hopkins so much. They weren't efficient at that. Not as efficient as they should be when you got a player of that caliber. And I think that had a lot to do with the play caller thinking that you could just line up, and because you got a guy that's better than them, you can do some things to win. Where now I think you got to get creative, and you may run some of the same plays, but the quarterback's going to distribute the ball differently. That's the plan. That's the hope that you have at this point in time.
Yep. From the text line real quick. So it's an advantage that we're going out there with three rookie coordinators. Got to love your optimism. We're going to get killed. Hey, you could.
No, you could.
But it is an advantage that they have never seen you on tape and what you're going to do.
That's the discussion revolves around the fact that Kansas City doesn't have film of Houston, period. The players, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, they don't have film of what those guys are going to do per se. So it's four preseason games worth of film versus none. It's 18 games last year of film to study and figure out versus none. It's not about having rookie coordinators and woo, we're excited about that. No, hell, I'd rather have McVay in this thing calling the shots. I'd rather have one of the top coordinators in this game in here that's you're confident. If that's the conversation that you want to have, that's not the conversation that was being had.
Yeah, it's clear. You, as you said, the Texans have all of last year, two games that the Chiefs played against them, and 20 years of Andy Reid and probably 15 years of Steve Spagnuolo run defenses. And the Texans and their play callers have no film out.
Right. If you study the last 18 weeks of the Texans, you're not real worried about tempo.
And nobody is saying this is a guaranteed win that they're going to beat them.
This is just the Texans
need every advantage that they can get. Here you go again.
I mean, y'all done up and done it, boy. No. Look, man, it's you don't have, like, if you look at last year's film with the Texans, you come in, you game plan, you ain't real worried about tempo. They should get hit in the face with tempo early and often next year.
Or at least they don't know what they're going to get hit in the face
right.
with.
Right. You come into this game, you shouldn't be real worried about Deshaun Watson running the ball, quarterback runs, and kind of read play him keeping the ball in the first three quarters of the game. Hopefully that's not the choice. That's not the deal next
tendencies
year.
Tendencies that they had. Yep. All right, coming up, these stories you need to know, the hottest stories in Houston. 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.